Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Last week, we began a new series entitled Elevate, and we're continuing in Colossians chapter 3, and will, Lord willing, over the next few weeks. Colossians 3, as you're turning there, I just want to share with you an email that someone in the church sent me just several days ago about what God was doing in his life. He said, "In addition to starting and ending the day in God's Word, I've taken you up on the challenge of focusing on a scripture per day, and I'm realizing its impact. It's so important to set good boundaries and put my identity in what really matters. It's hard, but I feel God is growing me in this." Hopefully you're there, where you're saying, "God, grow me, help me to move forward, help me to experience my next steps." Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to begin by reading the first four verses as we begin the message. This is where we camped out last Sunday, and so I wanted this to be somewhat of a review that then sets us up for today's message. Colossians chapter 3. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Lord, I pray now that you will help our hearts to be receptive, to be like good soil that the Word of God can go deep down into, have roots that then grow and make a difference in our world. In your name, amen. You can be seated. How many of you here today would admit that you are a garage sale fan? Okay? A few of you? Yeah, I know there are a lot because around here they've been extending the garage sale hours over and over again. It's now like starting Thursday, get done Sunday. I'm like, come on. How can people have that much stuff? I don't know, but I'm seeing garage sale signs pop up. I know when I was a kid, garage sale time was a fun time. My sister's here today. She would attest to this, that it was a time where we could go through our room and get the things that we didn't play with anymore, maybe some clothes that didn't fit, games we didn't need, pets, you know, that got lost and something like that. Joking about the pets, and then get all that together, and then we'd combine our things, put little stickers, I think, color or whatever it was for us, and make some cash. And I've discovered that if you do a garage sale, and some of you know this, you kind of have to have thick skin, right? Because there are going to be people that come and look at your treasure, and they're going to look at it, and they're just going to walk away and go on to their life. And basically, they're telling you, just get this, you have to have thick skin, they're telling you, "Your stuff is not worth two quarters that are in their pocket. All you have is junk." And then if someone does pick up something, they're interested in purchasing it, what do they say? "Does it work? Does it work? Would I put junk out there, something that doesn't work? Are you kidding me?" Do you guys do that? People must do that because that's what I would say if I'm at a garage sale. I would say, "Does it work?" Lacey is a huge garage sale aficionado, and she could even be considered a garage sale crazy fan. Is that true? No, not that? Not that far. But what I asked her is like, "Well, why is that?" And she said, "It's because you're looking for that bargain, that treasure, that thing that you thought your whole life you wanted, and then you find it, and it's actually someone else's junk, and now it's yours, and you got a good deal." Well, we have had a few garage sales as the kids get older, you know, it's clothes that don't fit, not in style, whatever it might be, make some bucks, give the rest away, but it's the opportunity to get rid of the things that you don't use. I'm a big believer, if you don't use it, lose it. Get rid of it. Why keep it to yourself? Let's bless somebody else. Let's get it out. Now, here's the thing. In Colossians chapter 3, we see Paul the Apostle writing to the Colossian believers, this early church, and he has just told them in chapters 1 and 2 in the first part of chapter 3, all of these things that Jesus has done for them, how they have actually had an elevation in their life. They've been elevated to life in Christ. They're now a child of God. And then what we see in this chapter is in verse 5, he turns a corner and he says, Therefore, okay, this is all that Christ has done. This is who you are in him. Therefore, or now, because of that, here are some things that you need to get rid of. Here are some things that you need to let go of. Verses 5 through 7, Lord willing, I'll get into that in a November series. I think that's going to fit really well there. But today, we're going to jump into verse 8 and spend most of our time verses 8 through 10. And what we see in verse 8, Paul says, "Now you must put them all away." You must put them all away. He's talking about sinful attitudes and actions that don't match up with the elevated position that we have in Jesus. You must put them all away. Put them away, lay them aside. It's a compound Greek word that's used here, and it gives us the picture of someone taking something and laying it down, but not just that. As they're laying it down, they're pushing it as far away as possible so that they can't easily retrieve it. And this command to get rid of, to lay aside, is actually used a lot in the New Testament. I want to give you just four examples today. Romans chapter 13 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off everything." Cast off those works of darkness. Ephesians 4, "Throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." Hebrews 12, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." James 1, "So get rid of all the filth and the evil out of your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart." Those are just four examples of many examples of that command to get rid of, to let it go, push it aside. Now, for a number of years, we have had a student ministry retreat for young people called the Go Deep Retreat. And a number of years ago, when we first started this, I was the youth pastor, and we decided to do a game. It's a game that probably most of you have played, Duck, Duck, Goose. Now, some of you are like, "Pastor Keith, you're out of touch. Teenagers don't want to play Duck, Duck, Goose." You might have a point there. But what we did is we decided to implement something into the equation, and that was eggs, raw eggs. And so basically, we put the students in a circle, and I would join in too because it was so fun. But get in a circle, and you're like, "Duck, Duck, Goose." Now, here's what we found. As you're going around a circle like this, and I encourage you to try it this afternoon. It's really going to help you in your relationships. As you go around and you duck, 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 and then you smash that egg on someone's head, it is so therapeutic. It is just really a healing experience for you. As you just smash it on their head and you go around giving some stares like, "What are you talking about, Pastor Keith?" I'm telling you, don't mock it till you try it. Try it this afternoon. Well, after we were done playing the game, usually it would erupt into an all-out egg fight. Sorry about that one, Pastor David. Back when I threw that, apologize for that one. We had a problem where some of the eggs were refrigerated too long, and so they became frozen. It was painful. But anyway, the ones that did break, we had egg stuff all over us. It was nasty, it was smelly, it was gross. I mean, you've got like yolk coming out of your ears, is no lie. You've got eggshell a little bit on your knee. It's like it's like we went through an egg war. Well, then it was shower time, next thing on the schedule. Everybody go and take their showers and all of that. And when you got done with your shower and you had your clothes, you know that is not take-home material. You put that into your bag, right? And you tie up the little sack and you throw it in the trash. You don't want to take that home. I want you to hear how the Message paraphrase reads for our text today. It says, "You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete." That ill-fitting clothing, he's talking about sinful actions and attitudes. It doesn't match. It's not in style. It smells bad. Like, it doesn't align with who you are in Christ, so push that away. Get that out of your life. Now I'm going to go through Colossians 3 in these two verses and go through the list and basically define these six words that Paul uses. And as I do so, you might be thinking, "Pastor Keith, I got it all together. I don't have a problem with any of these. I mean, this is like the easiest Sunday morning message ever. I've got it all under control." Well, that might or might not be the case, but here's the thing. I want you, as we go into this and as I define these, to really ask the Lord, is there even a hint of one of these things that's still in my life? It's some old clothing that needs to be tossed aside. The first one we read in verse 8 is anger. Anger is an agitation of the soul that gets out of proportion. I'm sure most of us have been there, right? You've been upset about something, and it's easy to find something to be upset about. Maybe it's a parent or a boss is unfair to you. Maybe you have a neighbor whose dog barks constantly. It's driving you crazy. There's an unpaid debt. There's an authority figure that maybe passes down some orders or some different things that you think are crazy, and so you might be upset. There are times when maybe relationships break down and that loved one won't speak to you. You might think, well, isn't it okay at times to put on my angry pants and just be plain old mad? And wasn't Jesus upset at times? What we read in the Gospels, it says that there were moments when Jesus got angry. See, God's house, God's temple was being used for profit instead of prayer, and when Jesus saw that, he became upset. Now, this is an example, though, of God's righteous and redemptive anger. But contrary to God's righteous and redemptive anger, what we see in Colossians 3, Paul is speaking about a selfish anger. It's an anger that festers and boils, and then it hurts people. It accomplishes nothing good. James chapter 1 says human anger does not produce the life that God desires. It doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires for us. And I'm sure all of us have had those moments when we got angry and it did nothing good. Often it hurts the people that are around us. The next word listed there is the word wrath. Now this is like next level anger. It's anger that festers, boils, it overflows. In the New Testament, it's used to describe that sometimes evil or uncontrolled behavior. We see this in little kids, and we see it in big adult kids as well at times. It's wrath. Aristotle, a long time ago, actually compared this Greek word to a dog who barks before finding out if it's a friend or not. I'm mad. Anybody know someone like that? It's wrath. The next one is malice. It's not a word that we use often, but it's an attitude that wishes to do harm on someone or does harm to someone. In the New Testament, it's a term that refers to basically an evil force that destroys relationships. It's malice. It's not good. Racism and prejudice is a form of malice. So looking down on someone, looking suspiciously at someone, pushing down someone because of their ethnicity is a form of malice, and the Word of God speaks against it. I'll tell you, prejudice has caused more pain in our country in the past and is still causing problems in our country today more than I think any of us can fully and completely realize. Legislation and policies will not totally eradicate prejudice from our society. Paul's like, these are things, malice, these are things that get into a person and they need to be uprooted. And it's only the power of the gospel in a person's life that can uproot even a hint of prejudice. And we want God to uproot the hints and the existence of prejudice in churches and then in communities. From there, it's the power of the gospel in a person's life and then a group of people and more people that will make sure that all people are created or treated like they are created equal, which is what the Word of God says. And the next one on the list is slander. Now, this is damaging another person's reputation by lies and gossip and spreading rumors. But I do want you to know that it's not just by lying that a person slanders. You can tell the truth about someone, but having the intent to injure by sharing that news is slander. Slander has a very close cousin named gossip. And this is where you are hurting someone's reputation. This is where you're sharing something in confidence that was shared with you in confidence. You're sharing something that casts a negative light on somebody else who's not there. It's gossip. And gossip and slander, I want to make sure this is clear, are mentioned in the list. I'm talking about the who's who of God's judgment in Romans chapter 1. It's in there. See, gossip is not a safe sport. The giving of gossip, speaking of gossip, the receiving of gossip, the listening to gossip, it not only hurts people, but it incurs and invites God's judgment. Very, very serious thing. Paul goes on, there are two more. One is obscene talk. This is crude and abrasive language. It's expletives. It's swearing. And the official word is potty mouth, I think. It's using words that you're like, ugh. It's basically using words that if one of your pastor used them, you'd be like, what? What is he saying? Okay. It is swearing. It is using words that maybe it's out of anger or just out of habit that, like, oh, really? That don't build up, that don't encourage, that we all know are at that level. A couple years ago, never forget this, one of the kids at our kids' camp had a prayer, and her prayer, out of all the millions of things that she could pray for as a kid, her prayer was this: God, pray that my daddy will stop swearing so much. The last one I'll mention is lying. Verse 9 says, do not lie to one another. This is any type of falsehood that's used. It's misrepresenting the facts. It's projecting an image of yourself that is not accurate. Charles Finney, the great preacher, defined lying as designed deception for selfish reasons. Designed deception for selfish reasons. And Paul says about all of these, put them all away. Put them all away. The anger, the wrath, the malice, the slander, the gossip, the prejudice, the lying, the obscene talk. Put it all away. Put it all away. Why? Why? What Paul teaches under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that we are to put it away because that marked our old life. That marked the before Christ. Verse 7 said, in these you too once walked when you were living in them. It was common for Paul to remind his readers of what life was like and how they did life before Christ. Verse 9, you have put off the old self with its practices. Think about it like this. Let's say you have an old suit. It's tattered, it's torn, it's smelly, it's out of date, it's out of style, it's lame. Your kids are embarrassed to even be seen with you wearing it. It needs to go. It needs to go. It had a great life 50 years ago. It needs to get out. Let's say, okay, that's gone, the suit's gone, but then you hold on to the accessories, the shoes you had 50 years ago. They're tattered and torn and smelly as well, and the belt and the tie and all of that. And Paul's like, look, Jesus cut away that sinful nature. He cut away that sinful nature, and so those things that are tied to that old nature, the lying and maybe it's the swearing, it's the anger, it's the prejudice, it's the gossip, those things, he's like, why do you still have that? It's like Jesus taking away that old suit. So why are you holding on to the shoes and the belt and the tie, the evil accessories of that suit? No, all needs to go. It all needs to go. They don't match. They don't fit. They serve no good redeeming purpose. They don't align with the elevated life that you have in Christ. Now, you remember the egg fight that I mentioned a little bit ago? Everybody would go and take showers. And there's something that never happened, and that is this. After the showers, none of the young people ever put those clothes back on. They didn't take their shower and be like, oh, I'm all cleaned up. Most of the egg smell's gone. That's great. And then they just put them back on. And that would make no sense. Nobody would do that. And Paul is saying the same things. Like, why would you, after Jesus has come and not just cleaned you up like a shower, he has made you new, a new creation in him, why would you put on those old clothes? Why would you put on those old, smelly, nasty clothes that nobody wants to see you in? Oh, it's gross. It's just embarrassed to be around. Like, why would you put those things back on? You have been made new. It's a new present reality. Verse 10, Paul says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. A new creation in Christ, becoming more and more and more and more like Jesus. Renewed in our mind, renewed in our heart to be more and more like Jesus. You know, we've all been walking through a season of pressure. The pressure has just been turned up. Life has got more challenging in many ways. It's become more complicated. It seems like even the basic things where we thought were basic are now challenging and difficult. There are maybe decisions that have made that you've experienced in your life, maybe it's government or it's boss or it's whatever that affect jobs, affect finances, affect your kids' schooling and activities, and just so many things have just gone complicated, and because of it, the pressure has gone up. We're seeing tension in some marriages. We're seeing tension in some families. There might be tension on the job site. Just the pressure has gone up. And when the pressure goes up, what's inside comes out. It does, doesn't it? When the pressure is turned up in your life, what's inside surfaces. It comes out. And one of the good things that have come out of these challenging weeks and months that we've had is that we have been able to notice, if we're alert to it, we've been able to notice some of the things that have surfaced. Like, whoa, I didn't realize I still dealt with that. Maybe there's been some anger that has come out. There's some words about other people that have come out. You're like, what is going on? Some things have surfaced. When the pressure comes up, it reveals what needs to be tossed out. Are there any old clothes in your life? I'm talking about Colossians 3, old clothes we've been talking about today. Are there any old clothes that you have that need to be tossed out, that need to be set aside? Sobering thought here, what if God looked into your life right now and you and him were having a conversation? You and I would be on our faces, melting like wax before him. Maybe if we peeked up, we would see eyes like blazing fire. And when God looks at anything, it's laid bare. Nothing is hidden from his sight, nothing in all creation. And if God's looking into your life, are there any old clothes that he would see and be like, oh, need to get rid of that? That doesn't match. That doesn't fit with the elevated life as a child of God that you are now living in. What would he say? What about this? What about those who know you the best? What if they were given permission to look through your wardrobe of attitudes? Would there be any that they would beg you to get rid of? Dad, those old clothes of anger don't make you look good. They make you look weak and ugly and scary. Mom, those old clothes of gossip, those were out of style like 300 years ago, okay? Why do you keep trying to wear them? It's embarrassing. Young people, those old clothes of lying, they don't lie. Every time you put them on, have you noticed people trust you less and less and less and less and less? See, for the believer, these old clothes, these old, tattered, smelly, nasty clothes of the old man, they just show a little bit too much flesh, if you know what I mean. And they need to be tossed out. They need to be taken out. Do you have some old clothes to be tossed out? The second question is, are you going to toss them out? There's a very big difference between I should throw them out and I will throw them out. Very big difference there. But in light of this passage where Paul, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, put them all away, cast them aside, get rid of them, trash them, discard them. In light of that, I want to give you four challenges that I believe you can put into practice today, tomorrow, and the next day to help all of us continue to move forward in being Christ-like. The first is this: open your eyes. Open your eyes. Just acknowledge that there might be a hint or a scent of some old, nasty, smelly clothing. There might be some things that have surfaced when the pressure has gone up. Open your eyes. Acknowledge what others quite possibly have already noticed. Sometimes we're the last to figure it out. The second one is this: pop the question. Pop the question. What am I talking about? I'm saying ask someone that you trust how you sound, how you come across, how you look. Now, I know that probably brought fear into many people's hearts. My hope is that you can find someone that will do what the Word says, and that is speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Pop the question. We might get some information that we didn't really want to hear, but maybe we need to hear it. The third one is this: make a change. Make a change. If it's out of style, it's out of date, it's smelly, it's tattered, it's torn, it's run its course, it's not fitting with a child of God, it's not elevated to that level where you are in Christ, then make a change. I'm talking about repentance, where you're saying, God, I'm so sorry for the pain that I've inflicted on other people and on you. I am so sorry for these remnants, this clothing that I've been putting on that is not of you. I am so sorry for that. And God, I pray that you will help me, because I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to repent. 180. I'm turning. I'm tossing aside. I'm going the other direction. I'm talking about making a change where those things are uprooted, not just clipped off at the top. I'm talking about uprooted out of our life. Maybe prejudice needs to be uprooted completely. It's anger. It's gossip. Whatever it might be, needs to be pulled up by the roots. Fourthly, and finally, the challenge is this: live from the facts. I'm talking about living from the fact of your identity in Christ. See, here's how society oftentimes works. It's like this: it's like feelings, actions, identity. Where it starts with feelings. Like, this is how I feel. I feel angry. I feel like lying because it could help me. It could help me get me out of trouble, or this or that. I feel like doing this. I'm upset. I feel like someone has hurt me. So I feel. And then from the feelings often come the action. Since I feel hurt, I'm going to say something bad about that person. Because I feel angry, I'm going to lash out in anger. Does that make sense? Feelings, often what we see in society, dictate the action, and then the actions define the identity. I feel angry, so I'm going to do something out of anger, therefore I am angry. Feelings and action and identity. But for a believer, it is to be much different than that, because in the kingdom of God, this is how it is to work, and that is feelings are at the end: identity, actions, and then feelings. It's like this: we begin with our identity. We begin with who we are in Christ. We're elevated into relationship with the Lord, elevated as a child of God. I'm in relationship with Him. I begin with identity, and then from my identity, since I'm in Christ, then I seek to follow Christ. Since I'm in Christ, then I want to do what Jesus does. I want to learn to love what He loves and hate what He hates. I want to choose His ways. From my identity, then, follow my actions. And from my actions, when I do the right actions consistently, eventually my feelings will match. I'm telling you, it begins with the right faith, which brings about the right actions. And right actions eventually bring about the right feelings. That's how it works. And a believer can choose. A believer can choose either to operate from their feelings or operate from the facts. And I say a believer can. I say that intentionally. And it's not because as believers we're so great and we have it all under control and we're better than. Come on. No. I say a believer can because of what Jesus has already done. Because of what He's already done. If you go back a chapter in Colossians, verse 15, you'll see this. God disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him, in Christ. When Jesus went to the cross and rose again on the third day, He completely disarmed the rulers and authorities. He completely disarmed evil. He completely disarmed the power of the enemy. The power of sin, the power of death, power of the grave. He completely disarmed it. Set it aside. Paul uses the same word here in Colossians chapter 3, in our text, verse 9, when he says, "You have put off the old self." It's the same word that he used, where God completely disarmed the powers and the authorities so that we can, since God's done the heavy lifting, we can have that sinful nature cut away because of what Jesus has done, and we can toss aside those remnants, that old clothing, those things that sometimes we've been tempted to put back on. We can set it aside. We can because of what Jesus has done. Set aside the old self and its practices because of what Jesus has accomplished. Think about this. What if you discarded some of that old clothing that maybe you've been putting on? What if you, like, you know, there's these things, maybe some anger, maybe even involved in gossip, it's whatever it is. But what if you discarded that, and you, as it says in the Greek, like, to push it away, and to push it away so far that you can't retrieve it. It's not like, oh, I might wear that shirt in the future, I'm going to put it in the basement in that box, I know exactly where it is. No. I'm not talking about that. You're pushing away so far that it's very, very difficult to retrieve it. What if? What if you did that? Would your life be better off? Would your relationships be better off? Would your family be better off? If those things were pushed away, those things were discarded. And in Christ, He makes that possible. Would you be willing to just get brutally honest here for a moment before we leave? You're looking in the mirror, and then you're asking God to reveal. Reveal to me, O Lord. If there's some old clothing, if there's some things that need to be put off, laid aside, tossed out, trashed, discarded, never looking back. God, is there anything? I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, just to bow your heads to join me in taking this moment to give God the opportunity. Would you just invite the Lord right now? Lord, just speak to my heart. Lord, I'm here. I have this moment. I'm giving it to you. I want to be brutally honest with myself, and God, I want you to be brutally honest with me. Lord, what is it? Is there anything we've talked about today that needs to be tossed out? Take a moment, let Him speak with you, and then I'll close in prayer. Lord, we come to you, humility, saying we're sorry. We're sorry for those things that have kind of been left over. We've allowed them to stay in our life. Lord, you've elevated us to a life in Christ as we have placed our faith in you. We are in you, Lord Jesus, and yet some of these clothes of anger, some of these clothes of slander and prejudice and gossip and some words that don't please you and some lines, some stretching the truth. Lord, right now we repent. We repent of those things. God, we don't want there to be one stone left unturned. We repent, God, of the things that we have allowed to stay in our life that do not please you. Lord, you have paid the price. You have done everything that was required, everything that was needed for us to not just be saved, but for us to live saved. We repent of those things, and by your grace, we turn the other way. We go in the direction of you, Lord, and your ways and your word. Help us, Lord, as we go through this week to live from our identity and not from our feelings of who we are in you, dictating our actions, which then affect our feelings. And God, I pray that your grace and mercy will be poured out on every person that is here, that they will experience your grace being an overflowing waterfall in their life, that they will know that you, without a doubt, are with them, never to leave them, never to forsake them. And then as they go through this week, Lord, you are continuing the work that you began when we placed our faith in you, and you're continuing it until the day of your return, which we look forward to so very much. God, we thank you for your presence. Continue to speak to us from your word as we go through the rest of this day, the things that you want to get across, the things that we need to grab hold of, the things that we need to respond to. Do a powerful work in every one of us, Lord. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.